Greetings, brethren, and happy Sabbath to all of you here and to those tuning in via webcast and call-in services. The title of today's sermonette is Israel is More Than Just a Title. When you look at the vision that God had for the ancient Israel, you realize what a blessing it would have been to be a born citizen of such a people, if only they would have kept their covenant with the one true God. Even now, it is a great honor to fall under the umbrella of Abraham's seed, spiritual Jew, or spiritual Israel. And Paul has some interesting things to say concerning this topic. Paul explains in Galatians 3 and 28, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. That if we are Christ, then we are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Romans 2 and 28, for he is not a Jew who is one outwardly, nor is circumcision that which is outward in the flesh. But he is a Jew who is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart and the spirit, not in the letter, whose praise is not from men, but from God. And finally, Galatians 6 and 15. Paul wrote, for in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but a new creation. And as many walk according to this rule, peace and mercy be upon them and upon the Israel of God. We understand the church itself is called the Israel of God. And God identifies himself not with just physical Israel, but with spiritual Israel as well. Now, here's the million-dollar question. How do we measure up with God's plan or his intended purpose for spiritual Israel today? A plan that requires us to come out from the world. A plan that requires us to be a light to the nations, to co-workers, to neighbors, and anyone else that we come in contact with. A plan that requires us to act and conduct ourselves differently. Or do we rest perhaps on a certain entitlement or take too much in identifying labels such as Abraham's seed, Abraham's descendant, spiritual Jew, or spiritual Israel? The Jews of Jesus' day took pride in their identity. They knew they were their chosen people, and they really let Jesus Christ know it. They stated, we are Abraham's descendants, and Abraham is our father. And then Jesus dropped a bombshell. He said, if you were Abraham's children, then you would do the works of Abraham. Here Jesus was emphasizing that there's more to it than just bearing that title. In the eyes of Jesus Christ, they should have been doing exactly what Abraham was doing, such as obeying God's voice, keeping his commandments, his charge, his laws, setting an example, and demonstrating his love and loyalty to God. Abraham was an example to all others around him. He is called a hero of faith. Abraham was indeed a light to others, and more importantly, God knew without a doubt the various trials and tests that he put him through that Abraham feared God. I believe it's really important to recognize the weight or the significance that comes with the physical or spiritual identity of being Abraham's seed, or a spiritual Jew, or spiritual Israel. All of those whom God has called to be part of this special group of people should always keep in mind that there is this great responsibility and great expectation that comes along with such an identifying label such as Abraham's seed, spiritual Jew, or the Israel of God. And that great expectation that God had for ancient Israel was to be a light to the nations, a kingdom of priests, and a holy nation. And furthermore, if you fast forward to the New Testament, in 1 Peter 2 and 9, Peter echoes the same words in addressing the church throughout Asia Minor, which also applies to us today. He wrote, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, and the same can be said for the body of Christ today, spiritual Israel, God's intentions and his purpose for Israel has not changed. The name Israel was and is so important because God gave it to his people, his firstborn son. You know, being a physical Israelite was supposed to be a blessing. But time after time, most of ancient Israel, because of their rebellious and their callous hearts, did not sustain God's favor. Physical Israel didn't do so well with being that light and breaking their covenant with the Almighty God. As spiritual Jews and spiritual Israelites under the new covenant, the dangers are on a much grander scale, especially after each of us has received God's Holy Spirit upon baptism and repentance and the laying on of hands. We don't want to fall into that category of simply being lukewarm. Like ancient Israel, many Jews in Jesus' day, we can't be so arrogant to believe that our identity as spiritual Israel or the Israel of God exempts us from overcoming our own carnal nature. Therefore, we need to seriously reflect on the consequences of physical Israel's conduct, lest we make the same mistakes as they did. So today, I would like to look at one example of ancient Israel's mistake, a mistake which kept many from going into the promised land. And equally important, it hindered them from being a positive light to all the other nations. The mistake that I submit to you this morning, brethren, and trust me, I thought long and hard about this and I'm looking in the mirror, is the art of complaining. With the help of God's Holy Spirit, we must strive to follow the pattern that God has set forth for his people, not allowing the art of complaining to take root in our lives like ancient Israel. Israel made the mistake of complaining one too many times. So, brothers, if you would, please turn over to Numbers 14th chapter, the 14th chapter. Just to give a brief synopsis, God had promised the land to Israel. He brought them to the very threshold of obtaining it. 12 spies were sent out, and 10 out of the 12 spies believed it was beyond their capability to take the land out of fear from the descendants of Anak. And so they communicated that belief throughout the congregation of Israel. Now we start at verse 2. And all the children of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron. And the whole congregation said to them, "If only we had died in the land of Egypt, or if only we had died in the wilderness." This doesn't sound like a group of happy campers ready to enter the promised land. It doesn't sound like a people who wants to stop wandering in the wilderness. Evidently, they were not happy with the way God was leading them via Moses and Aaron, so they began to complain against Moses and Aaron and even wanted to stone them. Dropping down to verse 10, "Now the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of meeting before all the children of Israel. Now the Lord is ready to intervene and act against the people. He's almost ready to destroy them off the face of the earth. But what happens? A faithful Moses intercedes, and the Lord pardons them upon Moses' request. A little further down in verse 26, we read, "And the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, saying, How long shall I bear up this evil congregation who complain against me? I've heard all the complaints that the children of Israel make against me." Without going into an exhaustive list, Israel had a history of complaining. The Lord did have patience, but they complained ever since they came out of the land of Egypt. They complained about the manna God had given them, dwelling in the past, and the meat that they had in Egypt. They complained about the leadership that God had put in the position, and now here they are complaining about entering into the promised land. So finally, the Lord says, "Enough is enough." In verse 29, we read, "The carcasses of you who have complained against me shall fall in the wilderness. All of you who were numbered according to your entire number, from 20 years old and above, except for Caleb the son of Jephunneh and Joshua the son of Nun, you shall by no means enter the land which I swore I will make you dwell in." All of those complainers ended up dying in the wilderness, and they never got to enter the promised land, only their descendants. One thing that I'm certain of is that the path the Lord has chosen to develop each and every one of us is not always easy. It will force you to rely on and put trust on Have faith in Jesus Christ, that he will see you to the end. I realize in God's plan of redemption, some nation had to be the first to enter that covenant with the Almighty God. And that nation was Israel. He didn't set his love on Israel and choose them because they were more numerous than other peoples. But on the contrary, they were the least. Because the Lord loved Israel, just like he loved spiritual Israel, and because he would keep the oath he swore to Israel's forefathers. Brethren, just as many of the congregation of Israel never entered the promised land due to much complaining and refusal to depend upon the Lord going forward, what will be the outcome of the Israel of God if we go down that same path? Most certainly, we shall reap those same results as ancient Israel did, which is to have the door shut, no accessibility to the kingdom of God. And I don't think any of us wants history to repeat itself. So, brethren, whenever we get that urge to complain, whenever things seemingly don't go our way or the way we intended, it is probably a good time to pray, seek, and ask God what he's trying to reveal something to you. Are we putting up resistance to something that needs to happen, something that would help develop us spiritually, something that is paramount to kingdom development, something that will help you and all of us be a light to the nations and be the Israel that God intended? Let us not follow Israel's pattern of complaining, but instead remain anchored in the plan of God and be the Israel that God intended you to be. That holy nation, a royal priesthood, conducting ourselves as the Israel of God. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your understanding, but in all your ways submit to him, and he promises to make your path straight. In closing, brethren, I would like to leave you with one final thought. The next time you find yourself looking into that spiritual mirror, examining yourself, ask yourself, am I walking like a citizen of the Israel of God via the standards that the Almighty God has set forth and what his intent was for his holy people? The Israel of God is more than just a title. When God looks and examines the inner man and the woman, and trust me, he does. Does he see a seed of Abraham? Does he see Abraham's descendant? Does he see spiritual Israel? Does he see a spiritual Jew? Can Christ go before his Father and declare that you are a member of the Israel of God and that you are making an honest effort to be a beacon of light for the rest of the world, an undefiled, faithful bride awaiting the arrival of the bridegroom who rejects the urge to complain when things do not go our way? You're not left alone. God has given you his Holy Spirit, and he has chosen you along with many other brethren across the world to be his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into that marvelous light. Brethren, may you all have a wonderful Sabbath.